Good morning. Last week, we began the sugya of Gevuyos Chayiv, the halachos of collecting debt. I'd like to go back to a few points that we discussed and just to clarify some of the issues that were raised before we move on. The first halacha that we learned, the Mechaber begins the halachos of Gevuyos Chayiv by stressing how important the mitzvah of Im Kesef Tava, the obligation that a person has to give an interest-free loan to another yid. Now we pointed out, the Chavetz Chaim writes, that although there's an obligation to lend money to whoever needs, a person does not have to lend money when it will be at risk. He has the right to demand a mashkin, he has the right to demand collateral to make sure that it will actually be repaid. If the borrower does not have any collateral to post, there the Chavetz Chaim writes that if he is unsure whether he will get repaid, then he has no obligation to lend the money. Now this obviously is a bit subjective. No one is ever sure that he'll actually get repaid. And therefore the Chavetz Chaim writes that very often people try to avoid this chiyuv of in kesef talva by claiming that it's a risk. They don't want to lend the money because they're simply afraid the person will not pay it back. So Chavetz Chaim suggests that when a person is faced with such a scenario, what he has to do is he has to consider if this person who's trying to borrow the money, if this person would come, would buy something and ask and would be buying it on credit, would he do the deal or not? Every time you sell on credit, there's a certain level of risk. There's a credit risk. He may or may not get paid back. But If the situation is such where if he was buying something from you, if you were making money off the deal, you'd go ahead with the deal, you take the risk. Zakeh Chavetz Chaim, if you're ready to take the risk for a couple of dollars profit, you're certain that level of acceptable risk you'd be mechuyev to do for a mitzvah of kesef talva as well. And therefore you can only exempt yourself if it's the kind of person who you would not do business with because it really is such a great risk. And we pointed out that the Mechaber also writes that the mitzvah of halvav and kesef talva is greater than the mitzvah of tzedakah. Although when you give tzedakah, it's gone, you're giving away the money, a halvav, when you're lending it to him, the ani has to pay it back. Still, because a loan is done with greater dignity, the person borrowing doesn't have that level of bezayin and busha, it has kedima, it is a greater mitzvah than tzedakah. The Gemara in Shabbos adds that not only is a halva greater than staka, but a matzal bekis, if you're going to invest money with someone, you're going to become a partner, you're going to provide the startup capital, that is even a greater mitzvah than a halva. Marshall explains the reason for that is because when you lend someone money, you give him an interest-free loan, it's usually fairly limited. When you're becoming a partner with him, you're going to make sure he has all the capital that he needs to be successful. And that's even a greater mitzvah than a halva. Now that being said, the Chavetz Chaim says that it has its limits. And he says today it's become very common for people to lend. People don't want to give out free loans anymore. They want to lend money. They write ahead to riskoth. There's no issur ribis. But Zakeh Chavetz Chaim, when the Gemara says that it's a greater mitzvah to become a partner, that doesn't mean in iska where a loan shark is going to take all the profits and leave the borrower with nothing. What it means is a case where you became partners, you split the profits, and you're paying the recipient who's getting paid for his labor. But if you're going to take advantage, if you're going to charge a high rate, as we added by Hatarisco, where you're securing yourself, where even if the business does poorly, the borrower is still going to have to repay it, there certainly the mitzvah does not apply. Chavetz Chaim adds that one of the reasons why there is so much anius, there is so much poverty today, is he said it used to be people who had money that were happy to lend it out, in kesef talva, were happy to lend it out to people who were less fortunate. He said today it's become so common for people to do iskas, for people to insist that if they're going to lend money, they want a return, they want revachim, they want an iska. He says, while you can't say that it's aser, if you write ahead to risko, it's not going to be ribbis. And he says, furthermore, if you're a banker, if that's your parnasa, you can't go into a bank that lends money with an iska and say, listen, I need a loan. There's mitzvah and kesef tam. I don't want you to charge me. If that's your parnasa, chayecha kaidmin, you have the right to do it. But Zot HaChavetz Chaim, when we've hit a stage where anyone with a few dollars will not give it out for free, they always want something in exchange, they always want it to be an iska, he says that is one of the reasons why we have Anius today. Since when Klal Yisrael did chesed with their money, and when they had money, they gave it out as an interest-free loan, Kadosh Baruch Hu did chesed to Klal Yisrael with money as well. But if we hit a point where there's no money available as an interest-free loan, it's always done as an iska, it's always done for something in return, Chavetz Chaim says, Mida keneged Mida, Kadosh Baruch Hu deals with us as, like that as well, and this is one of the reasons why there's so much anius in Klal Yisrael. Now the Mechaber continues. The second halacha that we learned was there's an iser of leisi aloi kenosha. When a person borrows money, if he's unable to pay it back, the creditor cannot be like a noisha. He cannot act like a creditor. He cannot pressure him and embarrass him and apply pressure when he does not have the funds available to repay. Now we had a discuss one of the cases that the Rambam gives is that if a person owes money, he doesn't have the money to pay back, and you're going to apply pressure to force him to refinance, to use his credit card, to borrow money from a goy where he's going to pay ribis, that is an iser of leisila kenosha. Because al pi din, a creditor does not have to borrow money and pay interest in order to repay his debt, forcing him to do so, if he doesn't have any other way to pay, is an lav doiraisa of leisila kenosha. Now, we discussed last week what happens if a person borrows money and he doesn't have anything to pay it back with, but there are, Baruch Hashem, a lot of gemachs around. He can borrow from another gemach to repay your loan. Can you apply pressure to get him to do so? So as we pointed out last week, if the person does not have a plan or does not have a responsible way to pay back this new loan to this new gemach, it's certainly awesome. Person has no right to borrow from one person to pay back someone else if he knows he will not be able to repay back the debt. The first loan that he took, it was done in good faith or not, but that's done. You owe the money. But to go ahead and to borrow money from someone where you know you won't be able to pay him back, that is certainly awesome. However, in a case where he does have a plan, he knows in a year from now he will be able to repay this new creditor. So here it seems to be a machlokes. The Rav Zalman Nechemya and the Meduyik in the Prisha and in the Torah and the Shevet HaKa'asi all write that a person has an obligation to borrow money for the mitzvah of Priyas Baal Chayv. And therefore, if you're able to borrow money without interest and you have a plan of paying back this new creditor, you have a chiyuv to do so in order to pay back the current creditor. That being said, there are a number of other tshuvas and makairis that argue. There's a Bar Moshe, and there are others that say that there is no chiyuv to borrow money for the mitzvah of Priyas Baal Chayv mitzvah. In halacha, it's not clear what the halacha l'maisa will be. Certainly, the Pel Yoyitz writes, it's certainly in Lifnim Meshuros Adin, it's certainly appropriate to do. If you have a way to pay it, if you have a way to borrow the money to pay back the creditor, it's certainly the right thing to do. But whether you can be koyfa, whether you can force him to do that, is not clear in halacha. And the Mechaber continues that it's aser l'loy v'luch v'shma mechaver v'loy mer l'lech v'shoy v'umachar etein v'yeshitai. Then on the flip side, the same way the Torah is machmir on the creditor, that if you're owed money, you cannot apply pressure, you can't embarrass the person into paying. There's an iser on a borrower. If a borrower borrows the money, he has a chiv to pay back priyas bal choiv mitzvah, and it is also for him to withhold the money, and it's even also for him to delay paying back the creditor, to push him off, come back tomorrow. Any sort of delay, anything that he's doing to avoid paying the creditor would be aser. Machlokes, some say it's doiraisa, some say it's dorabanan. But one thing is clear, the Gemara in Ksubis and Daf Pei Vav says that we're koifin al mitzvahs. The same way, if a person has the ability to do a mitzvah saseh, he has the ability to shake a lulav and esrog, and he decides he's not doing so, the halacha is bezdin is koifin oisoy anshe tzeitze nafshoy. Bezdin will force him to do the mitzvah. They have the right to hit him, do any type of kfiyah, asha teitzei nafsha. Even if he dies as a result of this kfiyah. So if a person owes money and he refuses to pay, the halacha is bezdin is koyfin. Bezdin has the right to hit him and do whatever they need to do to force the person to repay the debt. Now the Mechaber continues in the next halacha, is that Asr l'loyev l'kachas halva l'hoitziya sh'loy l'tzayrach l'abdoya sh'loyim sehamava mimal l'gvois. Choyvoy. Although there's a chiyuv on a malva to lend money to whoever needs it, there is an isser on the loyva to borrow money sh'loy l'tzayrach. Every time you borrow money, there's a certain level of risk. You're spending it, and you don't know for sure whether you'll be able to repay it. So the Zakta Sma, a person cannot borrow money for if it's not a tzairach gadol, if it's not a very compelling need. To put the creditor's money at risk is something which has to be done with great hesitation, and only when there is a very compelling need. Now there's a story with the Briska Rav. There was a community of Kaimimius where there was one bakery that serviced the entire area, and that was the only kosher bakery in the area. Now this bakery was struggling financially, and it needed to take out a loan. They went to the Briska Rav and they asked him that we need to take out a loan, but the reality is we're struggling today, we're going to be struggling tomorrow, and we don't really see anything changing. So while it's important to us to keep this bakery open, we're the only ones providing kosher bread in the area, the reality is we don't know whether we're going to be able to repay this debt. Do we have the right, or the chiyuv, to borrow this money to keep this kosher bakery open or not? Briska Rav answered that absolutely not. He said, I understand having kosher food is a very big tzairach. It's a very big inyan. It's something that you have to go out of your way to provide. But having kosher or bread, which is being baked with treifa gelt, is not kosher or bread. And therefore the Briska Rav paskened, it's usur, even though it's l'shem shemayim, even though you have a big inyan and reason to borrow the money, if you don't know how you're going to repay it, it's going to be usur. Now the truth is, this inyan, is really, the Gemara in Be'ah Daf Tezvav, says that a person, when it comes to being mechabit Shabbos and Yontif, Pasuk says, levu olai v'ani pareya. Kosh Baruch Hu tells Klal Yisrael, go borrow money for what you need for l'kavod Shabbos and l'kavod Yontif. Levu olai v'ani pareya. You borrow the money, and the Rabbi Yishloyim is maftiach you, I'm going to pay you back. So Tesis says, what happened to the memra of Asei Shabbos Chol v'atit tzarech l'brios? A person, it's better to make Shabbos like Chol, not to do anything special for Shabbos, to avoid coming on to other people, taking tzedakah, and Taisus understood a loan would be the same thing. So on one hand, we find that Seish HaBasa Chol, that a person, if he can't afford to spend money for the mitzvah, he shouldn't. On the other hand, we have this rule of Levu Olai V'ani Pareya, that you should borrow the money, even if you can't afford it, you should borrow it and have bitachon, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will pay you back. So Tosis answers that the case over here is that it depends whether you have a way to pay it back. If you have the assets, you have a mashkin, when push comes to shove, you'll be able to pay the person back. Then the halacha is levu olai v'ani pareya. For Shabbos and Yontif, covered Shabbos, borrow the money, don't worry about what will happen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make sure it'll work out. However, in a case where a person does not have the ability to pay it back, there we say, there you don't have the right to borrow money, even l'tzarech mitzvah, if you do not have a responsible way to pay it back. And this is the way Taisus and the Ateres the Kainim learn, that even for a divar mitzvah, a person, bitachin is what a person has for himself. But to borrow money and have bitachin, that Rav Baruch will pay back the creditor, that's something that you do not have the right to do. And that being said, the Goyin, both in Be'ah and in Aruch Chaim Reish Mem Beis, argues. The Goyin says that from Luvu Olai V'ani Pareya, a person can borrow money and have bitachon that a Kadosh Baruch will pay it back. And even if you do not have a cheshbon, you don't know exactly where it's going to come from, at least for Hoitzois Shabbos V'yontiv, a person has the right to borrow. Now, the Chavetz Chaim in the Shaar Tzion over there in Reish Mem Beis says it's V'niru HaKol L'fi Inyan. It depends on the situation. I'm not sure exactly what that means. But one thing is clear, and this is the Chaim Kanievsky said over B'Shem the Chazon Ish, that someone asked a similar question. And the Chazon Ish said that it could be, if you have bitachon, you have the right to borrow money, you have bitachon, you're sure it'll get paid, it'll be repaid. But Zog the Chazon Ish, that's only true if your madrega of bitachon is so much that if you had the money, you'd lend it to him on that same bitachon. But if you're not ready to lend it with bitachon, you certainly have no right to borrow with bitachon. Now, lemaisa, there was this issue unfortunately comes up very often with moistus. Yeah, very often you have moistus that borrow money. Now, a certain amount of borrowing is that's how to run a moistus. That, you know, businesses also need to borrow money. A sustainable debt level is something which, you know, piderach hateva, that's how moistus run, and that's mistamba fine. But at some point, when you cross over that line where you're taking on debt that al piderach hateva, there's no clear way to pay it back. It's not so simple in halacha at all that you have the right to do so. Probably the person who's actually borrowing the money. The fact that he's not using it personally, that he's giving it to someone else, I don't think that al zeh nemar ein adam choytzer v'loy loy. So I don't think that would be it. It's the person borrowing the money and who is representing or that you're expecting to pay it back. You know, there was a story a while ago. I mean, hopefully it's not true. But there was a story about a moiser that taka collapsed because of their debts. And one of the accusations against certain people involved was that they had their house or certain monies that were owed to them by the moiser. And a few months before the collapse, they recorded a lien against these assets, you know, in their favor. Because they were owed money by the moiser. They wanted to secure that debt, and therefore they recorded a lien. Now, until they recorded the lien, if they had pitachon that the same Kodesh Baruch Hu took care of the moisa until now, it'll continue. Okay, so that's a machloikas, that's a shaila, whatever it is, it is. But the moment they started worrying about their house, and they're putting in a lien to protect themselves, so then if you're going ahead and you're borrowing more money, that is a case where everyone would agree it's a loiva rosha of lo yishalim. Now again, it's difficult. People get desperate. They do things that, you know, perhaps without thinking. But it's something which you really have to think long and hard before you're taking out a loan. Do you have the ability to repay it when the time comes?
Does not have the ability to repay necessarily from income that he sees coming in, but he does have a backup. Let's just say he has a line of credit, or he has credit cards. In the worst case scenario, I'll go into my credit cards. Now, you know, if he did, he's not machuyev normally, but he
A person, this halacha that you can't force someone to refinance means Bezdin or the creditor can't force you to borrow money and pay interest to repay this debt. Priyas Balchayv Mitzvah doesn't go that far. But if you want to borrow money and your plan is when push comes to shove, you'll use your credit card, you have a right to do so. And it's not Leiv Rosh of Lo Yishalim because you have every reasonable expectation to be able to pay it back. And the next halacha in the Mechaber writes, "Im bo hamalva lebezdin lemashkin leloiva aliparim mimenu yesh lebezdin lasos loydin." If a creditor comes to Bezdin and says, "Listen, I'm owed money. I want you to seize collateral. I want you to collect my debt," Bezdin has to do the din. V'lo yoyimru ploini ani ve'ein loy ploini asher ve'ein tzarich loy ela ein marachem im bedin. The halacha is that if the creditor asks Bezdin to collect the debt, they want to seize his assets, Bezdin cannot say, this Nebuch, this poor debtor, is a Rachmanus, he's an Ani, he's a poor person, you're a Gevir, you're the creditor, have Rachmanus. The halacha is, Eim Rachim B'din. Bezdin's responsibility is to fulfill the letter of the law. They have to don al Pidin. Al Zen Nemar V'dal Lo Yisei Dar B'Rivoy. There's an Isser Doiraisa for a Dayan to be maker or to be more lenient on one of the Balei Dinim simply because he's poor, because he's a Dal, and that's something that Bezdin does not have the right to do. You know, as a personal observation, not that this is relevant to Halacha, but more often than not, when there is a Din Torah that involves a Gvias Chayv, someone is not paying back a debt, and the creditor goes through the process, brings him to Bezdin, and pushes Bezdin to just seize whatever assets the person has, more often than not, what we find out afterwards is that the creditor was under tremendous financial stress. People are not that quick to come to Bezdin, and if they are coming to Bezdin, although they may look like they're doing well, and it looks like the debtor is the dal, the poor person, and it looks like the creditor is doing just fine, more often than not, he's under financial stress, and that's why he's asking for it. Regardless, the halacha is a halacha. Bezdin does not have the right to take the financial background of the parties into account if you, the money is owed, they have the right, they have the obligation to go ahead and do whatever it takes to collect it. Now, of course, we mentioned earlier, there's an isser of lo sila kenosha, that if a creditor cannot go ahead and apply undue pressure on the debtor, he can't do things that will cause tsar or bazillion to the debtor. He has to, there are limits. The same way there are limits on the creditor, there are limits on the Bezdin as well. Bezdin cannot apply pressure if the person does not have the ability to pay. But if he has the ability to pay, if he has assets that al-pi din, he is mechuyev to give over to Bezdin, he is mechuyev to sell in order to satisfy the debt, then that's where we say, in merachim bedin, Bezdin has to enforce the creditor's rights to the fullest extent of halacha and cannot be mevater and cannot push the people to be moichel simply because one is an ani and one is an usher. Well, if it's fraud, then the concept of a misogyn will not apply according to most Pesachim, which means, although, as we will see, that if a person owes money, there are exclusions, we leave him a certain basic level of assets or money that he needs to live, those limited exclusions generally will not apply if it's gezel or if it's any other debt other than a loan, according to many Pesachim. It would be a different. There's an Imre Bino that says when you borrow the money, you have no intention of paying back. There's Imre Bino that sounds like it's gezel, in which case it would be gezel akum. Otherwise, it would probably be a question of mata akum, which would be a machlokes. Now, although the Mechaber writes that emerachim b'din, there's halacha of daloi seda b'riva, you cannot treat a person differently or more leniently simply because he doesn't have any money. There is a halacha that seems to somewhat contradict this in Siman Yud Beis, and that is in the halacha in Siman Yud Beis, the Rama writes that ein bezin yichayim lokayv liykanis lifnim mishuros hadin af bi shanir lehem shehu min aroi. Zog the Rama, if you have a situation where the din is one way, lifnim mishuros hadin, the person should act differently. So the Rama starts off by saying bezin cannot force parties to act lifnim mishuros hadin. The way Rav Saadia Gaon explains is that lifnim mishuras hadin is an obligation on the person himself. If you have a dispute with someone, so there's the din, there's the letter of the law, but we know lachorver Yushalayim elo shehimidu dinem al din taira. Yushalayim was destroyed. What caused the churban was everyone was hemidu dinem al din taira. They insisted, letter of the law, no rachmanus, no lifnim mishuras hadin. I want every penny that I'm entitled to. Certainly, as far as the Baal Din is concerned, that's not the way to live your life. That's not the way to run your business. So, Zog Rav Saadia Gaon, a person has an obligation to act lifnim mishuras hadin. But that's the person's obligation. When it comes to Bezdin, Bezdin's responsibility is to do din. And if LP din, you're entitled to a certain amount, Bezdin is charged with collecting that amount and not being mevater of anything, not looking at any other factor. But when if a person on his own wants to know what the right thing to do, if he comes, he calls his Rav and says, what should I do? There's a concept of the Mishuros Adin. Zog the Ramah, V'yesh Cholkin. Some Rishayim, and the Bach passes like this as well, some Rishayim say that no. The Fnim Mishuros Adin is something which Bezdin, if they feel it's appropriate, can force the parties to do. The Bach explains, if one person is an usher, the other is an ani, we can force you to act with lifnim mishuras hadin. It's not just, if both parties are aniyim, so then lifnim mishuras hadin is a nice thing to do, but it can't be enforced. But if one's an usher, the Bach paskins, and he says, halacha l'maisa, Bezdin should force him to act lifnim mishuras hadin. Now, there are number in the Pisrei Tshuva that we saw this morning in the Maror Mekoymos, there are many shitas that have sort of a pshara, a compromise. What they say is that although Bezdin cannot force you to act out lifnim mishuras hadin, Bezdin can be koyfe b'dvarim. Bezdin can try to convince you to act lifnim mishuras hadin. They can explain to you this is the right thing to do. And they can even be koyfe b'dvarim. They can call you an avarian if you refuse to do it. They can apply pressure. When push comes to shove, they can't force you, but they will make every attempt to try to get you to act lifnim mishuras hadin. Now, l'chayre, these two halachas are astira. On one hand, we're saying v'da'alis e'da'a b'rivoy. You cannot treat a poor person any differently in a din Torah. And you can't paskin like him simply because he's poor. On the other hand, we're saying that by lifnim mishuros adin, if one party is an ani, the other party is an ashir, you can force the wealthy person to act lifnim mishuros adin. So the answer is that the concept of lifnim mishuros adin is there's din, there's a letter of the law, and then there's lifnim mishuros adin. For example, one of the cases there is a person works for you. He works for you, he's trying to help out, he's trying to do his job. While he's working on your item, his hand slips, and he is mazik. He damages the item. Al pi din, he is a mazik. He damaged the item, he has to pay. Lifnim mishuros adin says that he was working in good faith, he was trying to help you out. Something happened, don't take advantage, be mevater, be moichel. So that's a case, well, although al pi din, you can bill him for the damage. Lifnim mishuros adin, when he's your worker, he's trying to help you, a person shouldn't do that. He should go lifnim mishuros adin. In such a case, we have a machlokes. The Bach says you can force lifnim mishuros adin. If the Ba'abayis is an usher, the person working is an ani, we can insist, we can force you to act lifnim mishuros adin. The other case in the Gemara is a person finds a metzia. He finds someone lost an item. Another person finds it after yish, after the loser had given up. Al pi din, you can keep it. Al pi din, once there was yish, you have the right to keep it. Lifnim mishuros adin, bottom line is this item belonged to him. Nebuch, he dropped it. So although he was miyayish, lifnim mishuros adin, give it back anyway. These are all cases where there's a case, there's a din, and there's lifnim mishuros adin. In a case of gvias choy, if a person borrows money, he owes you that money back. There's no lifnim mishuros adin not to take money that's owed to you. There might be mitzvah stuck on some cases. If he's an ani and you're an usher, there's a chiv stuck, there could be a chiv herzakta. Those are outside cheshbonos. The actual case here is he borrowed money, he owes it back. So there's no lifnim mishuros adin not to take the money. The only issue here is the fact that he's a dal, the fact that you feel bad for him because he's a poor person, that does not change halacha. Al zeh ne'emar v'dal seder b'rivoy, and there Bezdin would have a chiyuv to go ahead and collect whatever assets are owed and to do the din, which al pi din, and not to change anything simply because he's a dal, simply because he's a poor person. Now the Mechaber in Sift Hezvav continues in discussing how far the obligation to pay back a debt is. So the Mechaber writes that when Bezdin comes to collect the debt, Bezdin will send a messenger in to take assets, because priyos b'chayv mitzvah. Umakan oisoy asha teitze nafshoy. Bezdin has the right to hit the person to force him to pay the debt, asha teitze nafshoy, kidei l'kaima. But zok l'ramah, there's one big exception. Aval ein koyfen oisoy l'haskar atzmoy. You can't force a person to get a job in order to pay back the debt. If someone borrows money, he's unemployed, and you're able to find him a job. When the choyv is due, he doesn't have anything to pay you back. He doesn't have the money to pay you back. You cannot force him to work off the debt. You can't force him to work for you. You can't force him to find another job. You don't have the right to do that simply because he owes you money. The way the Sma explains, it's really based on the Rush, is because we've learned. For those of you that remember, when we learned Sechiras Payalim, the halacha is if you hire a worker is allowed to quit whenever he wants. Assuming he's not going to cause you any damage by walking off the job without notice, that would be a different halacha. But normally, even though you hired him for a year, he has the right to quit whenever he chooses. And the reason for that was, the pasuk says, Ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Klal Yisrael are avdei Hashem, v'loy avadim la'avadim. People, Jews, are not slaves. Therefore, the halacha is, whenever you take a job, if you always have the right to resign, you're not a slave, he doesn't own you, if you want to quit, you have the right to quit. Zok the Rosh, the same thing applies if you owe someone money. If a creditor could seize you and force you to work off that debt, essentially you've become a slave. You're being forced, you're an indentured servant, you're being forced to work to pay back the debt. That would be like avdus, and a creditor does not have that right. Now, there is one possible exception. The Torah in Siman Tzadi Tes brings down Machlokes Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer paskins that, as we all know, a husband has an obligation to feed to support his wife. The halacha is, if a person is unable to support his wife, he doesn't have any money, so Rabbi Eliezer paskins, you can force him to work in order to support his wife. It seems this concept of Kli Bnei Yisrael Avadim has an exception. You're a slave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to your wife. But for a creditor, the Torah learns Lekulei Alma, you cannot force a person to work in order to pay off his debt. Now the Erech Lechem brings down from Radvaz that that's only true. Person, he's retired, he's in Kailal, he's whatever the story is, he's not working. So you can't force him to work to pay off a debt. On the other hand, Radvaz paskins that if a person had a job, and he's been having a job, he's supporting his family. Now he owes money. And he says, listen, why should I continue working? The bottom line is, I'm not getting it. It's all going to pay off the debt. So I'd rather quit my job, and you know, you won't get the money, and I won't get the money, and that's how I'll just live off the few dollars that I have in Misandrin. I'll work a few minutes a day. I'll earn my basic needs, which are protected. And after that, I'll go home. Why should I work? It's not for me. It's for you. There, the Radvaz paskins, you can force him to actually work. The Aruch HaShulchan also is also mashing like this. It is a chiddush. It does seem to be a knas because Ma'aseh says Kli Bnei Yisrael Avadim. The Rosh is mashing not like that. But I'll call upon him in such a case where he's doing it lahachas. He's doing it just to deprive the creditor. There is a bit of a machlokes. That's true. He has an obligation, and that obligation goes only so far. Whatever assets he has to pay. But if owing money meant that person can force you to work, you've become a slave. And Kili Bnei Yisrael Avadim applies even in this case.
Just like you have an obligation to remind you of Kili Bnei Yisrael, also, if you borrow money, you have an obligation.
So it's like this. Very good point. The Sha'ar Mishpat. What? Oh, Mitzvah Zaseh, very good. So like this. The Sha'ar Mishpat points out, he really says in Machlokes Rishonim, which we're not going to get into, the Sha'ar Mishpat says that all this means is, we're talking about kfir. If someone owes you money, you can't seize him and force him to work for you. And to that extent, Bezdin will not be kofer for him to work. Because that's avdus. That's slavery. But if he comes and asks his rav, I owe someone money. I can get a job, I can pay him off. So, as you pointed out, Priyas Bachayv Mitzvah. Daraisa Drabonim, but it's a mitzvah. Zog the Sha'ar Mishpat, but if you want to know what your obligation is Priyas Bachayv Mitzvah. Do whatever it takes to pay off the debt. It means working a second job, a third job, whatever it takes, do it, be Makai in the mitzvah. Zog the Sha'ar Mishpat, but that's your obligation. But if we're talking about whether Bezdin can force someone to work, if we're talking about doing a kfiyah, seizing him and making him work either for the creditor or for somebody else, there that, from the pasuk of Kli Bnei Yisrael Avadim, we learn there's no such halacha. You can never have a situation where you force a yid to work, he can't back out, he can't quit, he's an indentured servant. That cannot be because of this pasuk. Correct. The problem over here is you're forcing him to be an eved to someone else. You're forcing him to work for someone else, and that working for someone else is something where ad kan, the extent that you have to go for this mitzvah is limited. It's because of it. Now, on our own, we wouldn't say it. It's because of this pasuk of Kiliv and Yisrael Avodah. Eved loyv lishmalv is right. It's not meant literally. If there are certain halachas we learn from that, it doesn't mean he's your slave, and certainly not certainly be treating him like your slave. It's, you know, the loiva certainly has to feel that he's indebted. He certainly has his priyas b'chayv mitzvah, but he's not an actual slave, and you can't treat him as such.
Can you use basin or just write to basin to root out the issue? That is, you lend somebody money, you think it's money, but you really don't know.
That happens all the time.
Would the basin ever come back and say, listen, I'll be bidding and collect it, but let's make sure it's in. Would they ever suggest to you that maybe...
So the din of the Dalai Seh Davariva is, if it's just a question, if he owes the money, it's just a question he doesn't have it, the Bezdin doesn't really have the right to start saying he's a Dal, have Rachmanus. When you sign for Pshara, So the lines get a little bit blurred. What is more common to happen is for the Bezdin to ask, even though Alpi Din, the money is owed, and right now we can sell his house, but what, accept a payment plan, accept it over time. Alpi Din, you're not mechuyev to do that, but to save him from a hefsid, to save him from bizoinus, that's certainly something that a Bezdin can and usually will try to negotiate. Okay, let's deal with it afterwards. Let me just want to finish off one last halacha. Now, the next halacha in Siman Tezvav as well, the Mechaber and the Ramo discuss, and that is 500 years ago or 1,000 years ago, if you owed someone money, you didn't pay back. What happened to you? So what the Goyim used to do is, if you didn't pay back, they threw you into jail. It was debtor's prison. Now, debtor's prison was a very effective way of collecting the money. Because if you're trying to hide assets, if you claimed ainly and it wasn't really true, a couple of days in a dungeon, eating crusty bread, sharing your bed with a couple of rats, would generally convince a person that this is not worth it, and if he had any money, he would pay it. The second advantage of this system is, if you had any friends or relatives that still cared for you, even if you had absolutely no way to pay back the debt, people would try to ransom you and try to pay off the creditor to get you out of jail. Now, as everyone knows, or everyone is fond of saying, in halacha, we don't find the concept of a jail as a punishment. We find the concept of a jail where you hold someone, but we don't find that as a punishment for a crime, you put them in jail with other criminals, and somehow that's supposed to be a punishment, and that's supposed to rehabilitate the person who'll come out of tzaddik. However, when it comes to Gvias Chayiv, interestingly enough, there is a Rashi in Pesachim Daf Tzadi Aleph that seems to say that if a person doesn't pay his debt, you throw him in jail. And it seems there was a common practice in the times of the Rivash, and the Tumim talks about it, there was a common practice when people did not pay, they would actually jail them. Now, the Rivash and the Tumim and the Paiskim are all Matzmiya. How could it be? Where do you find such a right? How can you throw a person in jail? So the way the Rivash explains it is that he says like this. Al pi din, he says, as a davar pashut, you have no right to jail someone simply because he's not paying. Ein lecha loisila kenoish gedolim mizu. If you're not even allowed to walk by the person to embarrass him and to put pressure on him, you're certainly not allowed to throw him in the dungeon. What they explain is that it's talking about a case where the person has money and he's not paying. So in such a case, just as we explained, the halacha is kaifan ala mitzvahs, and you can be makan oisai shetetei nafsha, you can do whatever it takes to force him to pay. Putting him in jail was a way to force him to pay. But it applies only when the Beis Din knows that he has assets and they're trying to force him to pay. If he doesn't have the assets, then it would be aser. Afal pi kein. It means basically nothing. He's entitled to keep whatever the exclusions are, which we'll get to next week, but they're very limited. And if he has anything above that, he has to pay that out. So the Rivash makes it very clear that the heter to throw someone in jail is only if he has assets and is not paid. Afal pi kein, from the Ritumim says, and the Rivash sounds like they had such a takana as well, that it seems that back then, they had an issue of people who borrowed money. They went ahead, they put their assets under their wife's name, their kids' names. They did things to avoid the judgment. And there were ramoim. So they made a takono. Because it was so common for people to borrow money, to default, when they're really hiding their assets, at some point they made a takono, you can throw them in jail because there's a presumption that he probably has the money and he probably is not paying. So in such cases, the Rivash says it would be mutter to put him into debtor's prison. However, if it's clear that he doesn't have the money, or in the absence of a takana, then there is no such concept in halacha, and the only right that you have is to actually collect the money, but you will not have the right to put him in jail or to pain him in any other way to try to force him to pay off the chayv. Okay, now we still have left open probably the most, the two most important questions that people have. And that is, number one, what does it mean when a person says, I don't have money? Most people have something. They're wearing clothing. They're living somewhere. They have some level of assets. The question is, what assets are they entitled to keep? And what do they have to relinquish and pay to a Baal Chayv? And secondly, how does Bezdin, what's the actual process, how does Bezdin actually enforce these halachas? What happens when a person says Ainli? What does Bezdin do in order to try to collect the debt? We are, unfortunately, out of time, so Mirtashem, next week we will address these two issues.